It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are breast milk, period blood, incest, forced marriage, figging, imprisonment, murder, and explicit sexual content.
Oh no.
Oh yeah.
And then we have a Apple review, and this comes from Figaro3795, and it says, the most entertaining ladies in the business. And it says, episodes can't come out fast enough. I started listening in 2025 and would listen while I fish on my kayak, cackling with the fishies. Keep crushing the podcast world, ladies.
Thank you.
Hell
thank
yeah.
you.
Keep on fishing.
Yeah.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about The Morningwood Tree by Siggy Shade. And if you want to hear what each of us rated it, stay tuned to the end of the episode.
So, it's our FMC Millie's wedding day, and she just got her period. Dang.
I'd be so mad. I got my period on my honeymoon.
Did you really?
Yeah. I had to do a lot of mouth stuff.
Ah! Horrible. She heard it's bad luck to get your period on your wedding day, but she's really hoping it's just a dumb wives' tale. Rather than wearing a tampon that won't last due to her super heavy flow, she sticks in an extra large period cup and trusts it'll do its job holding all her blood in.
It should.
Yeah.
There should be no reason.
She's about to marry one of Scandinavia's most eligible bachelors, Eric. If her parents were alive, they would be so proud of her. She's wearing a beautiful designer gown, and Eric's grandmother, Clara, has kind of taken over the parent roles for today. Once she's fully dressed, Clara tells Millie she looks like a princess, and she's so glad that Eric is marrying someone so healthy. And Millie's like, that's weird. Is that like a backhanded compliment? Why wouldn't you say I look beautiful?
You eat, girl. I can tell.
That's not what they mean, though. They literally mean healthy.
Was his last one, like, morbidly obese?
I don't know.
Clara's husband, Michael, who's in his 70s, looks ill, and it all started after Eric's great-grandmother died 3 months ago. Michael's looking at Millie up and down, and he's, like, drooling over her cleavage, and he tells her she looks good. Millie feels like there's definitely something off with this family, but Eric told her after their honeymoon, he plans on just moving them to London to expand the family business, so she's like, whatever, I don't really have to deal with them much longer, I'll just get this day over with. Michael says, hey, since you have no parents, they're dead, can I walk you down the aisle?
I mean, what do you say to that?
I know.
I mean, you could say no, but...
Yeah, but she was like, that'd be so rude, so she had to say yes. And their last name is Freeman. The Freeman family comes from, like, old money, too. And she didn't even know it until Eric told her about the family business, which is owning farmland. So she's marrying into a super, super wealthy family.
Nice.
Good for her.
As her and Grandpa are walking to the ceremony, he starts dying of a cough attack, and he tells her he needs water. And she starts running down the hall to the first room to find anything for him. But what she finds instead stops her dead in her tracks.
Eric, I whisper. He releases the woman's nipple, which dribbles with milk, and turns to meet my gaze. Millie, he says with a broad smile. You look breathtaking. My eyes widen at the man's audacity. It's one thing to have a lactation kink, but how dare he cheat on me and not give a shit that he's been caught? It's time for us to leave already? The other woman raises her head and offers me a serene smile. It's his mother. I just caught my fiance breastfeeding from his mother. I would immediately say, like, yeah, wedding's off. I'm going. I'm leaving.
He says, mommy's milk.
Yeah, and they're like, what?
No big deal.
Why are you looking at us like that?
She's staring at the both of them, and they're both looking back at her like she's the one who's weird. Michael runs into her, and he's like, hey, it's okay. It's perfectly fine. Like, he's literally been doing this since he was a baby. Don't be so fucking judgmental, bitch.
Yeah, okay, it's normal when he's a baby.
Eric comes up behind her and pulls her into a hug and tells her they're just a super close family.
What would you do?
Run.
I would sprint.
I'd throw up. I'd be like, I've been making out with you. Millie's like, hell no. I'm not about to marry someone who cheats on me with their mother. This wedding is off. But instantly, Michael is in her way, stopping her from leaving. He turns to Eric and he says, you said this woman would be different. And he's like, yeah, she is. Millie's down for anything. Like, she's a cool bitch. She's down to earth. She's just nervous. Like, give her a chance. She's fine. And Millie's like, the fuck I am?
Yeah, I'd be like, what are you talking about?
Michael tells her Eric was supposed to bring home a girl eager to continue the family tradition. As confused as she is, Eric makes it worse by saying, don't worry, I'm the most interesting thing that's ever happened to her. Just give her some time. She'll come around.
Okay.
Michael tells her Eric could have done so much better than you. She's like, fine, I don't even want to be here. Just let me go. But Michael tells her that's not an option. He grabs her and tells her and Eric are going to get married, and then they're all gonna honeymoon together.
Oh.
So there's a breastfeeding chain in the family. Eric breastfeeds from his mommy, and if he spends too much time apart from her, her supply dries up. Eric's dad breastfeeds from his mommy, which is Eric's grandma, Clara.
Ew.
I wish we were a video podcast because Riley, your face right now. Pure disgust.
This is when I'll shame breastfeeding. Now's the time.
That's fair.
Disgusting.
Millie turns to Michael and she's like, well, why do you have to go? Who the fuck's feeding you? And he looks right at her boobies with a smirk.
You can't just like lactate.
Oh, they have a plan.
Oh my God.
She's doing some long division in her head and she's like, oh, Michael's health is getting worse because he doesn't have breast milk as a health source. She's like, I'm not breastfeeding you. I'm not marrying into your crazy ass family. And Michael's like, fine, then you won't be leaving here alive. They give her an ultimatum. Marry Eric or die.
Die.
I'm gonna die.
They told her she can do lactation training. Then she can feed grandpa until they find a replacement for her. Then she can get divorced and get a nice settlement out of it. And she's like, fuck, wow. I really don't want to die.
It's kind of a deal.
Well, yeah, it is kind of a deal. You gotta do it.
Riley says, put a stack in front of me. That'll change my mind.
Yeah, a lot of money would fix a lot of things for me.
Yeah, I get that.
As Michael walks her down the aisle, he decides on some innocent small talk.
I'm going to enjoy sucking your teats, he growls. Eric tells me they're even longer and thicker than his mother's. Ew. I'd be like, longer?
Thicker?
Than a woman that's breastfeeding?
When it's time for her to kiss Eric, all she could smell was his mother's sour breast milk on his mouth. And at the last second, she turns her head, so he kissed her cheek, and that angered Eric. He tells her he thought she was different because she loved her tits being sucked and her nipples are hella sensitive.
Well, that doesn't mean I want your grandpa to suck on them.
Not for real. She's betrayed. She asks if he ever even loved her, and he's like, meh, I like you. So now it's like an extra stab in the back because like she truly loved him, and now he's just a huge fucking gross weirdo.
He's like, I like my mom.
A lot.
Yeah.
They get into an office with the priest to sign the papers, and he forces her to sign the marriage certificate. And then once the priests leave, he corners her, pins her, and then makes her kiss him. She gags on his milky breath, and then he says, welcome to the family.
Ew.
She runs out of the house as Eric follows her and tells her there's nothing around except forest, and that if the animals don't get to her first, he will. And then she takes off running. She goes deep into the woods until there's nothing but blackness, and she hears growls and sees huge wolf-like animals.
As a wolf was getting closer, she hears something from the earth say, "Back!" It doesn't stop the animal, though. The wolf lunged, but suddenly she's thrown up into the air and something smooth is wrapped around her mouth to stop her from screaming. She thought it was Eric at first, but then when she grabbed the arm that was lifting her up, she realized it was Bark. The voice says, "Hunt anything you want, but this human is its prey." She gets raised all the way up into the air to the very top of the tallest tree where there's a cavernous opening. And before, when Eric and Michael were threatening to kill her, they were like saying that they were going to shoot her. They were like, "You're lucky that we're just going to shoot you in the head, because our other plan was to give you up to the cavernous tree and make him eat you and kill you." And now that she's with this tree, she's like, "Fuck my life.
It was real?"
Yeah. I'd be like, "You guys are liars."
She's like, "Okay."
Yeah. Look at you now, stuck in a tree.
Mm-hmm.
She tries pleading with the tree to let her go and says that she will bring back 5 more people in her place. And tree is like, "Why have 5 when I have 1 right here, right now?" And then it brings her down into its center. Inside the tree center is a vibe. It's clean. There's soft yellow light. But then vines shoot out and start restraining her wrist, ankle, and neck.
That's not chill.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that.
No.
I'm sorry, but if I can't like move my arms and legs, no. Neck, go off. I don't care. But my arms and legs, I can't move my limbs.
Like those people that go spelunking.
Oh. Yeah. Honestly, I think like something's like mentally wrong with you to do that.
Just shimmy into a tight hole for fun.
Yeah. And like stress the fuck out for just fun.
Yeah.
I feel like there's something like missing for you in your brain. What are you trying to fill? What void is that?
Maybe it reminds people of the womb.
Hopefully we have no spelunkers in our audience. I mean, if we do, go off, spelunk away. But it pisses me off.
But you specifically piss me off.
It's upsetting me. I'm angered.
The vines start tearing at the fabric of her gown. And when it goes over her body, and especially her nipples, it's super gentle. At her quota of weird shit for the day, she starts thinking logically, and she asks the tree how much blood it needs to survive. It tells her 1 medium-sized human every century or so, and she's like, "What if I give you blood and you don't have to kill me?" The tree's intrigued, and she propositions that she'll feed him a little bit each day, but he says, "Boring! Then I'd have to be awake for another 100 years. No thanks. I want to eat and then hibernate."
Yeah.
She entices him by giving him little life updates like humans going to the moon, airplanes. She's like, "You're missing so much. You sure you don't want to hear my stories?" And the tree says that he will hear all of her stories and then he'll kill her for her blood. And Millie has a plan to keep the tree interested long enough to wait until Eric comes to find her, and then she'll try to escape from there. She decides to offer him a sample in the meantime.
"What are you doing?" it asks. "There's something inside me that catches the blood. I reach between my legs, but a branch slaps me on the hand. Ouch. Allow me," the tree says, its voice low. Tree, you don't know how to take out a diva cup.
Yeah, he does.
He starts reaching towards her with his long-ass branch arm, and she's like, "That is way too big." But then his branch arm turns into a little branch hand. And he has her levitating on her back as his like little tree hand is gravitating towards her. And then his little leaves brush over her clit.
Sensation spreads through my core, down my thighs, and across my belly, and my nipples harden until they ache. Moisture slicks my folds and drips down my thighs. I can't believe I'm in the clutches of a carnivorous tree, letting it pleasure me with its foliage. My clit is so needy and swollen that I can't seem to care. You know what? They never do care in this moment.
No. You might as well roll with it. It's not like you're getting out of this situation.
You're right. It's just always crazy to me that people can be turned on in a moment like that.
She says, "Gotta get my nut."
Gotta get your nut.
As Millie is panting with need, the tree's like, "Yo, are you okay? Like, what do you need?" But she refuses to say that she's getting turned on by a tree, so she says nothing.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The tree tries to get the period cup out, but it's pretty suctioned in there, so he slides another wooden finger in there, and it pushes right up against her G-spot. And when her body tightens, he's like, "Your body is so responsive." Internally, she's like, "Well, this is better than whatever Eric did, and it's better than getting eaten, so yeah, I guess I don't mind."
The tree continues to probe my pussy while rubbing the leaves back and forth against my swollen clit. Pleasure builds up around my core. I gasp, arch my back, and spread my thighs, needing the tree to continue its sweet ministrations until I can climax. All right.
She's begging him now to orgasm, and finally he permits her. As she comes, he's like, "Mm-mm-mm, the flavors are melting off my leaves."
Oh my god.
But you haven't reached my blood. You're slippery sap, it replies. It is most refreshing. Slippery sap, gross.
He's a tree.
I know, but yuck. But you know what? We should call that from now on. Slippery sap. I'm sapping.
Ew.
The whole tree rumbles and says, I want more. With her orgasm over and the tree taking all of her slippery sap, there's none left. And he's like, no, where did it all go? She tells it that it only happens when women orgasm or are aroused. And generally for her, it's never happened more than once, but maybe they can try again. But she asks him if they can try something different this time. And somehow he's able to make like a high pressure flow of water. And then she's like, yeah, I can fuck with that. And also the tree makes like this bulb thing that goes in her pussy and it collects all of her pussy juices. So while the water is like getting her off, it's like soaking up all of her slippery sap.
Okay.
She's hella turned on and is making him lots of nectar. But just when she gets to the brink of orgasming, he lowers the stream, edging her.
Sweat breaks out across my skin. I'm gasping, panting, and shaking. This is so peculiar. I'm being edged by a carnivorous tree, and all I can think about is getting that orgasm. Yeah, in a moment like this.
This goes on for literal hours until Tree is satisfied, and then finally he lets her come. He takes out her period cup and inserts a new bulb and tells her from this moment on, he will be collecting all of her offerings. The next day, her plan continues. She's going to keep Tree entertained as much as she can to keep her alive. She starts over-exaggerating her stories to make them more compelling to him, so that way he, like, wants to try to keep her as long as he can.
So she's lying to him?
Yeah.
All right.
Her stomach grumbles, and she's like, hey, what if you let me out, and I'll go, like, get my own food, and I'll come right back and tell you more stories. But he's not falling for it at all. She feels a tug in her pussy, and it's the bulb that he put in there. And when she tried removing it, it started swelling and making it impossible for her to get out.
Ugh, I don't like that.
Out of nowhere, a ball pops out, and it gives her everything that she asked for, basically like berries, fruits, the things when he's like, what are you hungry for? She like listed all these things that she said she was going to get from the forest. And then he's like, don't worry, I got it. The tree is determined to keep her captive, and he can see through her trying to manipulate him to letting her go outside. As she eats the delicious food, Tree's like, I want to try something. He plans to massage her belly to encourage the blood flow faster because she also didn't tell him that periods last only a certain amount of days. So she has kind of more of an escape plan. She's planning that once Eric comes searching for her, which he will because Michael's life depends on her lactating him, instead of just trying to run away, she's going to try to trade her life for all of theirs. As Tree's wanting to milk her blood, she's like, can you at least give me a view or something? And he makes a little hole in the tree so she's a view of the forest as he's gently massaging her. She asks him why he's being so gentle and he's like, you're my guest. I get you until your stories are over and then I kill you. Duh. So with that fresh reminder, she tells him about the time she went to the moon. He's still massaging her when he goes over her nipples and finds they're sensitive. She says that he can play with them, but to not tease her like yesterday. And he says, but I need my juices. She says, if you want juices so bad, you gotta make me squirt.
Yeah.
He takes out her bulb and replaces it with a human penis made out of his branches.
Wow.
She looks over at it and she's like, can you make it like a little bit longer? It's nice, but just a little bit.
Does this tree have like any face or anything? Or its voice is just like bellowing out into the hole of the tree?
He is tree, tree is him.
So it's just like, hello, hello, hello.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. Within a few heartbeats, the dildo transforms into a 10-inch toy. I'm panting so hard that I can barely say the words. It's perfect. Give it to me, please. The branch rises in an arc over my head and circles my opening, making me buck my hips. Please, I whisper, stop teasing. I need your wooden cock. Eager little human, if you want this cock, then you must give me what I need.
He wants her period blood and her pussy juices, so she just starts like humping him to get hella horny. She loves her wooden dildo, and she has her first orgasm, and Tree is happy with the amount of fluids he's collecting from her, and he even calls her a good girl. Her body sings at the praise as he continues to fuck her with it. After her next orgasm, she was excited to go once more, but instead, he pulls her upright and says there are human intruders here.
Shit.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
She asks the tree who's out there, and the tree tells her to go see for herself, and she looks out the little window it made for her. She sees Eric's mother and father, Olivia and William, walking across the clearing holding shotguns. William holds up Millie's slipper and tells his wife that she was here. Millie tells the tree she has an idea. Why doesn't it drink their blood? But the tree is like, meh, I'd rather drink yours. It's delicious and unique, and the more I drink, the more emotions I feel, and I like it.
I'd be like, no.
No, you don't. It's yucky.
Stop.
And she's like, well, if you want more of my yummy sap, you can't drain all of my blood. And besides, the only reason I was able to get so aroused was because I knew these people would come hunting me down. The tree seems like she's hurt his feelings and is like, you were planning to try to get me to eat them instead of you this whole time?
Yeah, it was.
And Millie's like, listen, you and I are both living beings. We both want to live. What would you do if someone came up to you with fire and axes and wanted to chop you down? These people are bigger and stronger than me. Just like that one time the King of Dragons was making the tiny dragons steal food for them. One of the stories she told him. And he's like, well, I would defend myself if someone came up to me wanting to harm me, but I suppose if I wanted to escape, I'd offer them a few of my dead branches to get them to leave me alone. And Millie's like, exactly, that's what I'm doing with my period blood. You can have all of that. I don't need it, but if you take my actual blood, I won't be alive to give you my sap. She's got a point.
She's like, pick one. What do you want?
The tree seems unconvinced, and Millie sees Olivia and William beginning to walk away, and she knows she needs to convince the tree to eat them instead of her, like now. So she yells out the window at them to get their attention, and the tree's like, what the fuck are you doing? But now Millie's pissed because her situation is so beyond fucked, so she just screams, fuck the both of you, out the window, and Olivia shoots her gun at the tree, which causes one of its branches to come flying off, and it impales Olivia through the chest.
Oh my god.
William starts unloading his shotgun into the tree, and now the tree's pissed, so it spears its roots out from underground and stabs William right through the dick and balls. They're still alive, though.
Both of them?
Yeah.
Oh, make them suffer a little.
Yeah, they deserve it. The tree asks Millie why she did that, and she tells it, they're my enemies, and they're part of the group who's trying to ruin my life, and the tree's like, oh, okay, then they will not survive. And now that I've gotten a taste of their blood, I'll drain them completely. But when that's done, Millie will receive her punishment for causing them to shoot and injure his branches. Now Millie's pacing, trying to figure out how to reason with the tree, and she's like, what if I give you more of my sap? But the tree's too busy to answer because it's currently pulling Olivia and William into the ground to feed its roots. So it like pulls people underground and then drains them and sucks up their guts.
That's insane.
She asks if that's going to happen to her, but the tree tells her she's a sweet treat to be savored, not devoured. She's spiraling now, thinking she's going to suffer a slow death, and she asks the tree how it plans to drain her blood, but it's like, I'm not going to kill you. I hunger for something other than your blood now. Then the ground starts to shake and branches wrap around her arms and legs and push her down onto her stomach so she's spread eagle on a grassy platform. A mass starts to grow out of the wall in the shape of a human with glowing eyes. It's 7 feet tall and ripped with a huge wooden cock.
Oh!
It comes toward her and tells her now it's punishment time. But somehow Millie's getting a little soaky just looking at its swinging appendage and tells the tree it's perfect.
She's getting sappy.
She's sapping. The tree mannequin tells her that it's never enjoyed anything in all of its life, but it enjoyed killing those people. But with pleasure comes pain, and getting shot really hurt. Then it spanks her and tells her she's a naughty girl.
This is for my bullet wound.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
She feels that its flesh doesn't feel like bark, but kind of like a leathery material. She tries to apologize and he says, "You're not sorry yet, but you will be."
I bite down on my bottom lip, hoping this punishment will be pleasurable. His fingers slide down the crease of my ass and circle my pucker. My asshole clenches and I inhale his sharp gasp. Will he slide his finger inside? I tilt my hips, trying to give him a hint of what I want, but the finger slides back up my tailbone. No finger for you. No finger for your pucker.
It tells her it wants to learn all of the secrets of her body and tells her she will choose her punishment. And she's like, a spanking? And he's like, sure, but I was hoping you'd ask for a figging. And she's like, what the fuck is that? And if you didn't know, over on Patreon, Riley and I have totally done a figging story before.
We have. I don't remember what it is.
Oh, it's about to come right back to you.
Oh, yay. The mannequin walks around in my line of sight. His cock is already fully erect and lifelike, with thick veins running along its shaft and a bulbous head that could stretch me beyond reason. I gulp, my gaze flicking from his glowing eyes to the bead of pearlescent liquid balancing on its slit. Figging is a form of punishment where a piece of ginger... Yes, that's right, I remember.
Yep.
Figging is a form of punishment where a piece of ginger is inserted into the anus. He holds out a root about half as thick as his cock. Oh my god.
That would hurt so bad.
Yeah. So bad.
He tells her it would burn for just a few moments. As far as punishments go, it's probably the least painful. So she's like, okay, let's go with that one then. So he peels the ginger and then forms his fingers into little knives and shapes the ginger into the shape of a butt plug.
Mm-mm.
He makes his fingers finger-shaped again and produces an oil that oozes out of the tips and starts to insert them into her butt. He says, it's time. If the burning is too much, to let him know and he'll cleanse her rectum with more oil. Then he slowly slides the ginger into her butthole. She's really liking this so far and isn't feeling any burning. He asks if she knows why she's being punished and she's like, for getting you shot and making you feel pain. And he's like, for making me feel emotions. I can't kill you. All I want now is to keep you pleasured and safe.
I'd be like, oh, slay. Thank you.
Are you my boyfriend?
What are we?
Then why am I tied up with a ginger root up my ass? He raises a hand and rubs circles on my behind. Because you enjoy being spanked. Now be a good girl and count them.
She starts to count as her spankings begin and she's beyond soaked at this point. And she's just jonesing for his wooden dick. She's leaking down her thighs and begs him to fuck her. And he says, one more spank and I'll fill you up. But he draws this last one out, rubbing her ass instead of whacking it. And she's just whimpering about how much she needs it and also wondering what the fuck she's even doing right now. Because what are you doing right now?
Yeah.
Getting spanked by a branch.
With ginger in your ass?
Yeah.
Yeah. You were getting fingered by a tree earlier.
Uh-huh.
No one would believe you.
What if she wakes up and her fever is just like 105?
That would make more sense.
Yeah.
I feel like that's how Siggy Shade comes up with these plots.
Yeah.
In a fever.
Yeah.
Fever dreams.
He lands the final blow and her ass clenches around the ginger, which sends a warming sensation through her body and she's on the very brink of an orgasm. The tree tells her she's a good girl and took her spankings very well and now she can have her reward. The branches around her legs spread her open and she's gushing fluid as the tree absorbs it all up.
The thought of the tree soaking up my fluids makes my clit swell. His fingers circle my clit. I'm so sensitive that I can feel each grain of the wood as though they're raised fingertips. I'm still flushed from the ginger and so close to climaxing that sweat breaks out across my skin and my breath comes in shallow pants. I need more speed and more pressure. Most of all, I need that thick mannequin cock.
He tells her he's never seen her produce so much sap, and she begs again to be fucked, so he takes his wooden dick and slides it up and down on her puss. Then he lines it up, but doesn't push it in. She's on the verge of tears at this point. He slides in a tiny bit, and she squeezes her butthole to feel the ginger, and the tree says, "Do that again." She does a little kegel for him and they both moan in pleasure. Then he starts hammering into her and changes his dick to have a V shape at the tip. And he tells her that her cunt is a masterpiece and he wants to see how much he can stretch it.
All right. Scary. I cry out as the wood presses down on my surrounding organs. Warmth flares from the ginger in my ass, filling my insides with liquid heat. My clit is so engorged with sensation that it feels twice its usual size, and my bladder feels so full that it's about to burst. Wait, I say between gasps. If you keep pushing down on me like that, I'll pee. Let it flow. I want your blood, your sap, and your piss, the mannequin says, and gives my ass another slap.
He wants it all.
Yeah, every fluid.
Yeah, and the poo-poo for fertilizer.
Is there poop in this book?
That doesn't happen in this book, no.
Oh, I was like, is there poop?
I mean, there is no bathroom, so probably behind the scenes.
Yeah. Ziggy said, that's too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crossing a line.
She fully pisses herself, and the tree tells her she's gushing with liquid and feeding him delicious sustenance. Then his dick reshapes to have multiple bulbs that grow and shrink inside of her like a massage. She's sweating and edging and gushing, and this is feeding the moss all around her, which is growing and tickling her sensitive body. So the ground is just, like, pulsating.
Oh my gosh.
A tiny clover wraps around her clit, and some leaves come up to rub it. Some plants come out of the ground and start wrapping around her nipples, pulling at them. The oil in her ass is officially gone, and now the ginger is burning her poor innards. She's begging him to come, and the tree opens her ass and pulls the ginger out, plopping it onto the ground and putting his finger in there instead. That's a lot happening to one person.
I'd really stop touching my ass right now. Warm water seeps into my anus, massaging its walls and releasing the intensity of the heat. My ass clenches. Did he just turn his finger into a fuel nozzle? I'm going to pull out my finger and you will hold this fluid in your ass like a good girl, the mannequin says. Can you do that for me? Yes. Don't spill a drop. What if she toots a little?
She better
not. That's the last of her worries.
She clenches her butthole and the dick inside of her is now spinning around in circles. The leaves are still playing with her clit and she's really trying her best here. Finally, the tree tells her it's time. Let it go. She comes insanely hard and the water gushes from her asshole and she feels like at this point she's been reborn.
How do you not shit?
Just farting out water.
She literally just got an enema.
Yeah,
she did.
She probably had little poo chunks in there.
She got a ginger enema.
Oh, she did. Yeah.
Like, how'd she not shit?
Exactly.
That's what I want to know.
And he said, let it out.
Yeah, I don't think the tree would care, but she's probably feeling refreshed now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Have you ever done an enema?
No, but I think about it sometimes. Probably feels great.
I did a colonoscopy prep.
There you go.
That just makes you shit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Kind of want to do that for fun.
The colonoscopy prep?
Yeah.
For fun?
That sounds like my worst nightmare, shitting 24 hours a day.
Yeah, but imagine how skinny you feel after.
Is it crampy tummy ache poops?
It honestly just hits you like a jet.
That sounds awful.
I could do that without the tummy ache.
Yeah, without the tummy ache and without like the sweats. No problem.
But the only thing that hurts was at the end because your butthole hurts so bad.
She thanks the tree and he says, don't thank me yet. This is just the beginning. He pulls his tree dick out of her and then she says, they need to talk. Her period will end soon and then she'll need him to let her go so she can take care of business in her actual life, like getting a divorce and blackmailing the fuck out of Eric and his family. And the tree is like, no, you're staying here forever.
Yeah, like how could you not think that? Of course you are.
Yeah, but she's gotta like do stuff.
Not if she's just gone.
But she won't, like, live in a tree trunk for her whole life.
And have little tree babies?
I hope not. She tells the tree if it keeps her here, she'll be miserable. And now that he has emotions, she knows it wants her to be happy. The tree isn't having any of this, but she tells herself she just needs to feed it more period blood for a couple of days. And it'll gain more emotion and be more willing to let her go. So she's like, okay, fine. We'll talk about this later. But for now, did I ever tell you about the time I found a hidden golden ticket and won a trip to a chocolate factory?
You fucking liar.
He says, go on, and then picks her up, wrapping her legs around his waist, and forms his dick into a super veiny one and sticks it back in to collect her precious menstruations. He tells her he's beginning to understand the meaning of life, and he wants to hear more of her wonderful stories. So she fully starts babbling on about Charlie and the chocolate factory, but the dick in her is starting to feel really nice, and she can't concentrate. He makes her a little shelf that grows out of the wall and plops her onto it as he languidly thrusts in and out of her. She's forgotten her fake backstory for now, and she's really getting into it.
I'm so swollen and sensitive that I feel every ridge, every contour, with an intensity that makes my eyes roll to the back of my head. You're tightening around my shaft, he growls, but I want you to hold back your orgasm until I'm ready to spurt.
She's like, trees can come, and he tells her he's more than just a tree. She's focusing all of her energy on holding back her impending orgasm and focuses on her life back in London instead, but all it does is make her heart feel heavy.
I felt like Cinderella, who had finally met her prince, until the moment I caught him sucking on his mother's nipple. Yeah, because that's what you are, girl.
She gets so lost in her turmoil that she dries right up, and the tree's like, ah, I'm about to bust. So she focuses back on him, and she realizes that he made his wooden face rather handsome. And he tells her she's more beautiful than anything in the forest. Now she's feeling all warm and mushy inside because no one has ever said anything so sweet to her before. Some moss comes up and starts massaging her clit, and the tree tells her it's about to fill her up with his release. As he starts to come, the moss slaps her clit, and they both reach their climax together. But his dick starts to swell and has fully formed a knot, trapping all of his stuff inside of her.
Tree.
He asks if she wants a taste of it, and she says, yes, please. But instead of pulling his dick out, he crashes a kiss down on her. And it says his lips feel like rose petals, not like bark. So I guess that's fine.
Oh, nice.
And he tells her, here it comes. And then he salivates into her mouth.
Like his cum?
It's just like his fluid.
Okay. It's a little like maple syrup with a hint of blossoms and honey. I swallow several mouthfuls before pulling away, my belly close to bursting. That was delicious. He grins. I'm glad you enjoyed the taste, but I think you can take more.
They fuck all night and into the morning, and finally she collapses exhausted, telling him how satisfied she is, and the tree tells her it's time for her to get cleaned up. He forms a makeshift moss tampon with a little string that connects her to him so he can get every drop of her sustenance. He brings her to the center of his cavern where there's a steaming hot spring right in the ground, and the water smells of eucalyptus and mint.
Oh, nice.
It sounds so nice. Minus the tampon attached to a carnivorous tree.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He tells her he made this for her to show his appreciation for making him feel alive for the first time in 3,000 years. And she thinks to herself, damn, this guy's old as hell.
Yeah.
She gets into the water and he tells her that his original name was Yggdrasil. And she's like, can I just call you Ash? And he loves his new name. So his name's Ash now.
Cute.
And she finally tells him her name in return. He washes her hair with soap berries as she tells him her story and how she wound up in the woods running from Eric and his family. And Ash is like, I want to feed on your blood just like they want to feed on your breast milk. But you're truly an interesting person, and all I cared about was using you for sustenance. He's starting to get more humanity, and so she's like, no, you saved me from those wolves, remember? And you never pretended to be something you weren't, like Eric and his family. You showed me mercy, and you listened to me when I talk, and you've shown me more pleasure than any human has to offer. I feel seen with you. You make me feel appreciated.
Okay.
She's falling for her tree man.
Yeah, you're gonna want to stay there, girl.
He tells her that he knows keeping her prisoner is wrong, but he's selfish and he doesn't want to let her go. And now she's thinking that maybe she doesn't want to leave. He pulls her out of the bath and dries her off, making her a soft, cozy bed where he snuggles up to her until she falls asleep. They spend the next few days hanging out, chit-chatting, and fucking. And she's even starting to tell him real stories about the world out there instead of made-up shit, because he's like almost a person now. We get his backstory, which is basically him being destroyed by Ragnarok during a battle in this forest, and his seeds were fed by the blood of the fallen, where he regrew and needed blood to survive. So he's got a whole lore. Yeah.
He's like a battlefield tree, and he grew on the blood of his enemies.
They're snuggled up, and he's even feeling more soft now, like suede instead of wood. He tells her he's never felt this happy before. They start a little makeout session, and now Millie's soaked and ready for sex, but she says she wants to try something. There's this story about a man made of wood whose nose would grow whenever he told a lie. Can you do that?
She's like, let me ride your nose.
And he's like, yeah, sure. And she's like, make your nose the size of a cock. And he's like, you want to fuck my face? And she's like, yeah. So he lays on his back with his hard dick nose at full mast.
Creative. I lower myself onto his nose. It's tapered at the tip and flares gently at the nostrils. Even though it's nowhere as huge as his cock, I still feel a delicious stretch. Wood grain massages my inner walls with back and forth motions as though the flesh that makes up his nose is sentient. Is that all right? He asks. Fuck yeah. I groan and lean forward to support my weight on my hands and knees. Now lick my clit.
She's fucking his nose, he's licking her clit, and she leans down and takes his real cock into her mouth. So it's a truly wild 69 situation.
My walls close in around his nose as a powerful orgasm burns through my insides like wildfire. I scream so loud that flocks of birds burst out of the trees and into the skies.
Ash roars, the sound vibrating through my pussy, and his cock erupts with warm fluid. I open my mouth, eager to coat my tongue with his syrupy cum. I massage his shaft through the spurts while his tongue flickers and flutters against my clit, triggering a second orgasm. Ash groans, and his nose releases a burst of liquid that splashes against my walls.
Boogers. Ah. They collapse together and Ash gets somber, confessing to her that he never wants to let her go. He picks her up and brings her back to the cavern to show her he's completely renovated the space to have a four-poster bed, a sofa, a water fountain, and a bathroom. And she's like, I love this, but you know I can't stay here. He bathes her and is really getting in his feelings, knowing that he can't keep her, and tells her he knows she has to leave, but losing her will hurt worse than being destroyed by Ragnarok.
Oh, I know.
She's like, can't you just leave the tree? And he says, I am the tree. And she's like, what if you just leave the trunk? And he says, I don't know. I've never tried. This is my first time creating a human-shaped version of myself. But for now, let's just sleep. We'll talk tomorrow. She wakes up in the morning alone. She calls for Ash, but he doesn't answer. And when she looks around, everything but the bed is gone in the cavern. And now she sees a door. She calls for Ash, but he says, I'm here. He's back to being the tree again. He tells her that her period has ended and she's free to leave. He promised to keep her until her blood ran dry, and now it has.
Oh my god, no. Yeah, a tree third act breakup. Yep.
Now she's feeling used and she's like, that's all I was to you? A little snack? And he says, of course not, but you need to go out into the world and live a real life. He made her some clothes and boots and insists she put them on and get out. She starts to cry and is like, can't you at least take your human form and come say goodbye? And he says, one more touch and he'll lose his willpower to set her free. Now get out or he'll get rid of the doors and she'll be prisoner here forever. So she books it out with her new outfit. And once she's outside, she turns around to see there's no more door. She's locked out.
No!
So she whispers her goodbye and starts walking. She makes her way to the road and hitchhikes her way back into town. But as she's sitting in the passenger side of this truck that picked her up, the driver locks the door and punches her in the side of the head, knocking her out.
What the fuck?
She wakes up to Eric's grandma, Clara, looking down at her, and her titties hurt. Millie's told that while she was unconscious, they loaded her up with herbs and a special diet to begin her lactation. That's why her titties hurt. She looks down to see she's gone up at least 2 cup sizes, and they tell her she's been out for a week.
Oh my god.
Then Eric walks in, and he's pissed, saying her milk has almost come in, and he's going to be the first one to have a taste. She demands to know why he's doing this, and he tells her the men in his family have a genetic disorder that causes them to die before the age of 50, but breast milk is the cure as long as it's mixed with special herbs. He leans down to suckle from her as she screams at him to get the fuck away from her, but then his grandpa, Michael, walks in and tells Eric to get away from her. The herbs she's been given aren't good for him. It's special and just for Michael. Besides, Eric should have found a willing participant because if Millie is kept like this, she'll be miserable and her milk will sour.
Yeah.
Michael kicks Eric out and apologizes to Millie for what Eric did to her. This wasn't part of the plan, but the show must go on. She was gone for a week, and although Eric is on dating apps looking for a replacement, he needs his milkies now, and the fastest way to get it to come in is mouth-to-nipple stimulation.
Ugh.
She tries to tell him that breastfeeding is supposed to be between mother and child, and he's like, you can call me baby if you want.
Disgusting.
So he's being like a nasty old man. Then she's like, okay, fine, I'll let you do it, but get my restraints off first. Actually, there's a nice place I found in the woods. If you take me there, I'll even let you rest your head on me while you feed. We can have a picnic and relax. And he's like, that sounds nice, but he's still leaning his head down to suckle at her teat. She panics and is like, okay, fine, but if you're gonna suck my nipple, the least you can do is let me suck your dick.
Bite it off.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
He looks appalled by this, but she tells him if he's taking breast milk forcibly, she wants his cum in exchange.
He darts his gaze to the door. Do you know what you're saying? That I want to wrap my lips around your cock and suck it until you spurt? That I want to drain your balls of all your spunk? And when you can't take it anymore, I'll oil up my hand and pump you until you sputter? What the fuck is coming over you? Why are you saying all that?
It's the tree. The tree's influence.
Well, I mean, yeah, sputter. That's the tree.
She's like, I'm a kinky bitch now.
Michael is shocked, but says, yeah, okay. But from this point forward, he'll call her Milky and she can call him Pappy.
So nasty.
She tells him that he better go get started on taking his erection herbs. As soon as he's about to leave, Clara walks in, yelling at Michael to get the fuck out. Then she's asking Millie what this little whore is planning. Clara then attaches the lactation machine to Millie and tells her this is the only way Michael is going to feed so she doesn't steal her husband.
No one wants your husband, crazy.
Yeah.
Frusty, dusty, dying husband.
I'm sorry, you want him to suck the teat of a random woman and he can't share your milkies with your son.
Yeah.
Millie tells Clara if she's so worried about her husband, then don't force this. But Clara just ignores her. It's been a couple of days. Everyone is still out looking for Eric's parents, William and Olivia, and they are getting stressed. She ends up producing milk, and Michael says the sample is really healthy. He goes to suck on her nipples, and she says, please, not here. Can we go do the picnic like I suggested? He's like, yeah, okay. He unstraps her and leads her out of the room. He has a bodyguard follow them. His name is Peter. Millie takes him to the forest to do their little exchange. Michael lets her know that he took 4 helpings of his erection herbs, so they should be good for a while.
Oh, brother.
She leads him to the perfect spot, and Michael's bodyguard lays the blanket down and they sit. When Michael starts dragging his pants down, she notices that Ash is not awake, and she's gonna have to suck Michael's dick. Except a gunshot rings out. Clara emerges from the trees yelling with her shotgun.
Oh, God.
She tells Millie to get away from her husband. Michael tries to say that the English slut propositioned him, even though he's not technically wrong. Millie tries to say that he's just going to do it with the next woman. Clara shoots again, missing Millie but hitting the tree. Millie runs, but Clara shoots, hitting her in the shoulder. Then both Peter and Clara are attacked by vines.
Good riddance.
Yeah, cheese.
Millie knows that Ash is awake. Michael tries to say that she's a piece of shit for leading him to this trap, but she says that their whole family are the real villains.
Yeah.
Michael grabs Claire's gun and tries to shoot her, but again hits the tree. This unleashes more branches that take over Michael and pull him into the ground. Millie stays still for a moment, but no Ash appears.
Where is Pookie?
Yeah.
Someone grabs her from behind. She goes to scream, but it's Ash. He looks different. He's an actual man with long brown hair and olive skin and glowing hazel eyes.
Oh my God.
He bandages her up and holds her. He explains that after she left, he didn't go back to being asleep. He went down deep into the earth to consult the Well of Wisdom and decided that he would give up his immortality to be with her.
It's true love.
Oh my God.
He apologizes for taking so long to get to her, allowing her to be hurt. She says it's okay and asks if he's fully human now. He says no, he's a hybrid species. He can still control the tree and the flowers and all the flora, but he has a physical body now. He kisses her and it's better than before. She runs her hands down his body and grabs his erection as he lays her on the blanket. They say I love you to one another and she's so happy he's here. Then he says that he needs to be inside of her.
Yes, yes.
Ash takes in her breasts and how large they are. She explains what they did to her and how her husband is still at the house. And he says good because he's going to kill him slowly later on.
Nice.
Get his ass.
She realizes how hot and uncomfortable her breasts actually are and begs him to drain them because with him, it's different. She wants this.
All right. I don't think I would ever let anyone else ever suck on my tits again.
No. I feel like I'd be like traumatized.
He takes my nipple into his mouth and slides his tongue up and down its peak with flicking and teasing strokes. I grind my hips against the erection, pressing into my pussy and groan. He draws on the nipple, his eyes fluttering shut with a moan. Sensation builds as he continues to drink. I arch and moan into his mouth, wanting him to go faster, harder, to take every drop.
Wow.
Hot.
He tells her that she tastes even sweeter than he imagined. He goes to her other breast, drinking her milk, so he can still control, like, the tree and whatever. So he opens up a suction hole on his dick and puts it on her clit. So it's like a rose toy, but it's his dick.
Oh, okay. I love it. Crafty.
He continues using that on her clit until she comes. Then he restrains her with branches and they start lifting higher up into the tree. They go up to the top of the tree canopy and he tells her he wants to return all the happiness that she gave him. His fingers thin and split and roll across her torso, tickling her skin. One reaches her clit and she gasps.
You should see your cunt, he says, his voice breathy with awe. It's dripping nearly as freely as your nipples. Oh my gosh, she's just leaking everywhere.
Sappy.
Sapping.
She then asks if he can split his dick into two for some DP.
Oh my god.
He says, yeah, duh. And then she tells him to fill both holes.
His huge penis expands to twice its usual girth, making my stomach drop. It's now thicker than the widest part of his forearm and looks like it would split me in half. My breath shallows and I continue raising my head, desperate for what comes next. He draws closer, his cock pressing down on my clit until I'm panting harder and faster than a hungry wolf. Then his slit opens up, letting out a stream of pearlescent fluid, and his entire head divides into two. Honestly, that'd be quite jarring to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, his one dick just rips.
As soon as his first cock enters her pussy, he has to stop for a minute because it's way better than using his wooden one. Then he lubes up her ass and starts fucking her. They continue until they both come, but he's not done. He wants to see how well she can take one more cock. The one in her pussy then expands, breaking into two cocks, scissoring within her. So she's got a three right now.
That's a lot.
He fucks her with all three and pinches her clit until she comes. They finish and kiss, exchanging I love yous, and they talk about how to take care of her husband. After a couple hours of sleep, they wake up and go start their new lives hand in hand, nudie booty together.
Nudie booty.
They walk to the house and Eric is inside. They stop at Eric's door. Ash steps in and Eric wants to know what the fuck is going on. Ash says that he's here to claim Eric's wife. A vine shoots out, holding him still. Millie demands to know why they lied to her, and when he tries to say that he was being honest in the past with other girls, they were disgusted, so he had to do it.
Yeah, because literally no one wants this deal at all.
Yeah, because it's not normal.
Ash says nothing will change Eric's mind or the behavior. Millie ultimately agrees and says it's Eric's turn to suffer.
Ash's cock forms a needle-shaped tip and pierces Eric through the balls. Eric's eyes roll to the back of his head and he faints, giving Ash a moment to extract some semen and move the spike to Eric's abdomen.
I forgot about this part.
What is he doing?
He's got a plan.
Yeah. All right.
Ash lets her know that the baby that he just implanted into Eric will be theirs with some of Eric's DNA. They will also leave their host, aka Eric, when they're done fully forming, which is in about a year.
He was impregnated.
Yeah, so Ash pierced his balls, took the sperm, and then put like this sharp little tip in Eric's abdomen to grow a non-human fetus for a year.
So it's going to grow a tree?
No, just you wait.
All right.
The being growing will emulate Eric so no one suspects anything, and then they'll have their own family. So Eric will essentially just be a host to this parasite baby. So he won't have like any thoughts of his own. The parasite will mimic Eric, so nothing's off.
It's like Renesmee in Twilight, how she was like drinking Bella's blood
and talking to Edward.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And seducing Jacob. Yeah. Honestly, I wish they could like redo that, because once Renesmee came into the picture, fucked up.
Yeah. Ash and Millie are excited because then they will have their own family. We're 1 year later, and surprise, two babies are born. Eric gains enough consciousness to declare them as heirs to his fortune, goes to the hospital, and then he dies of a mystery illness. Ash and Millie live happily ever after.
I'm still confused. What the fuck?
And the babies, like, can't talk, but they're, like, grown-ups. It's very strange.
I don't like that.
Millie looks at the newborn baby and is like, can you talk? And the baby, like, shakes its head no.
And then she's like, is it all right if I touch you? And then it's just like, uppies.
Ew.
It's like fully like sentient and like fully coherent, but it's still like a baby in talking level.
I'd be like, get the fuck away from me.
Yeah.
You alien.
No, she loves it.
That's part of her. It's her baby.
She grew it?
No, Eric grew it.
He took one of her like eggs from when she was on her period. So it is like part of her. When he was like inseminating Eric, he like took a shedded period egg and inseminated that in Eric.
Yeah.
Okay.
The end.
Crazy.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
This one, like, oddly made me feel weird. I don't know.
But not one splinter in sight.
No. I'll give it 3. A solid 3. It was good. I liked it. But something about it made me feel uneasy.
That's fair.
What about you guys? What did you guys think of the book?
I gave it a 2, I think. Also, wow. Quite uneasy.
And you actually read it.
Yeah.
I gave it a 4. I liked it a lot better than Jack's Head. I put on Goodreads 4, strictly for entertainment purposes. Because I'm not kidding you, like, when you're reading the book, you quite literally don't know what the next page is going to be on. Like, what's going to be on the next page. It was, like, plot twist after plot twist after plot twist.
I also gave it a 4. I was highly entertained. I never knew what was coming. As soon as I got to the breastfeeding, I was like, what is this?
Yeah, what the fuck?
I liked it.
I would love to be in Siggy Shade's mind, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, next week, we're telling Riley all about Her Saint by Harmony West, and we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
All right. It says, Her Saint, with roses and like a skull. And it says, Saint and Sinner Duet Book. Ooh, it gave me a hint. A masked stalker romance. I think it's just going to be a dark and broody gal in this town. And she's going to be going about her day-to-day life. She works somewhere.
Where?
I'm going to say, I don't know why, it just came to me. She's a dog groomer.
Right.
But then she gets this guy, and he is like super dark and broody too, but like way more than her. Comes in with his dog.
What kind of dog does he have?
Doberman.
Very dark and broody.
Or a Rottweiler, but like also Rottweilers are so kind and cute, so mm-mm.
Yeah, not a thought behind those eyes.
No, dumb as fuck. So then he comes in, connection, right away. But she can tell something's off with him. And then he just starts like watching her every day, watching her. But then he's like sending her little hints, but scary ones, because he's like not good. He's not a good guy. But he's doing that, and then he like sneaks into her house one night.
Cute.
And he touches her in her sleep. Then she's like, what is that? But then they kind of build a connection over the next coming weeks because he comes in again, gets his dog groomed again.
No shit. That's a lot for such a short coat.
Yeah.
Actually, he has an allergy and so he has to be bathed, groomed quite often.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Good backstory.
And so whatever, she's like telling him that she has a stalker and he's like, that's crazy. Little does she know it's him. Events happen. She finds out he's the stalker. But you know what? She decides, I'm still going to love you because we have a real connection. How'd I do?
I loved the journey. I would read that book. Unfortunately, it is not this book.
Can't win them all.
Just imagine your nice, dark, broody, manly man going, I'm allergic to my dog.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out next week.
Yeah, we will.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.